Welcome to Stop the Machine, the podcast that takes you behind the campaign to end factory farming with Philip Limbury of Compassion in World Farming. I'm Julie Smith, and this month we're at the 10th Good Animal Welfare Awards in London to celebrate the retailers who are bringing cage-free produce to the high street. Since Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall presented the first Good Egg Award to then-Mayor of London Ken Livingstone back in 2007 for his commitment to cage-free catering, over 1,000 Good Farm Animal Welfare Awards have been presented to companies from across the globe. Philip Limbury told me why the awards matter.
More than a billion farm animals are now set to benefit from better lives because of the commitments of the hundreds of companies that we've worked with in that decade. So I'm very proud today, never complacent, there's so much more to do. You know, we march on. But the great thing is we're going to be marching on together with a vast room full of corporate champions for farm animal welfare. And that's a very powerful thing.
Philip handed out the awards for the best marketing campaign, the innovation award, and the big one, the retailer of the year.
2017. Please welcome to the stage Waitrose.
Gregson explained why getting the Marketing Award and the Retailer of the Year Award matters to Waitrose.
We are hugely proud and it's really important to everybody in the business, and I'm not just talking about the people who work at the shop end, but all our farmers as well, because from their point of view, a lot of this takes a huge amount of effort, and getting those guys on board and keeping those guys on board is absolutely key to all of this, because without them we couldn't achieve any of it. And I guess it's thanks to customers who mind about this stuff.
So tell me about that relationship. Okay. Is it the customers who put the kind of the pressure on you, or are you driving it from your end, or is it somehow a little bit of both?
There's probably a little bit of both, but I think when you're starting off anything like this, the idea has to start within the business. I think you tend to find a group of people who really care about this stuff, and as I think several of the presenters said, this is, you know, businesses are made up of lots of kind of individual people with their own views and their own concerns and everything else. And when you get a group of those who genuinely mind about animal welfare, that's where the power comes. And the structure of our business is really important because we are a co-owned business. That is, everybody in the business shares an ownership. We don't have external shareholders who are worried about short-term kind of profit. We can take a longer view on these things, and we can do these kinds of things.
You can put your heart in it a bit more, can't you?
Yeah. I grew up on a very small farm in the northwest of England, and my dad, it was a traditional old kind of mixed farm. It was very small. It was 70 acres. And in the 60s, my dad decided that he would not cage his hens, he wouldn't kind of house his pigs, despite the fact that's what everybody was doing. And the advice from the kind of ministry at that time was that's what should be done. And he absolutely refused to do that. And as I said, as a result, he probably managed to earn no more than about £5,000 a year for the rest of his life. But he stuck with it.
And that must have been really powerful for you as a young man.
It was really powerful as a young guy, and he really drove home the importance of this stuff, and that we can't take any of this stuff for granted at all, and it's so important. And as I said, the kids coming up, who are the customers of the future, really mind about this stuff, and I find that really heartening.
So Compassion's campaign, and it is a campaign to end factory farming, I mean, how realistic do you think that is?
If you look at the audience in this room today, you know, from China, from all over the world, places like China, hugely respect them, but you wouldn't necessarily think of them as a hotbed of animal welfare. Yeah. However, they're here. The status quo can't survive. Something's got to give. And surely we want to be on the right side when that happens.
Because of climate change?
Everything. Population, climate change, changing attitudes, everything.
So you've got to be the good guys.
Somebody has to be.
Best Innovation Award, please welcome to the stage Tesco.
Hannah Donegan is the agricultural manager at Tesco.
Yeah, we're hugely proud at Tesco to have received this award. We've been working on this project for 2.5 years now with our processors in Turkey to provide humane slaughter in all of our bathroom, in our pre-pack and our counter.
So the deal is that you saw the ways that fish were being killed and you didn't like it.
Correct.
So you worked very, very hard to innovate a new system where sea bream and sea bass are stunned before they're put on the boats. Is that how it works?
Yes, correct. So there was no system that would work for sea bass and sea bream, so we looked to our salmon and trout suppliers to look at what systems they were using there. And we then had to adapt for sea bass and sea bream, and even for the system for sea bass and sea bream, for the two different species, it doesn't work the same way. So yeah, a lot of innovation has gone into actually finding an effective solution to ensure we can humanely slaughter our sea bass and sea bream for our customers.
And you know, you are at the cutting edge, you are talking directly to your customers. When they walk into a store, and what do they see? How do they know that this has happened?
All of our fish will be MSC or ASC certified, so this will form part of that certification body, which is displayed across our stores. We also have expert fishmongers on our counters as well, who can also talk to our customers about where their fish comes from.
Because that's the point, isn't it? That if you've got the old-fashioned fishmonger who talks to them, to the customer, about where the fish comes from, to get some indication of the story of the food, and therefore they're more likely to want to know more about it, enjoy it more, take more care about other buying practices.
Yeah, it's something that we've seen, particularly over the last 6 to 12 months, where we are getting more and more questions from our customers about fish and fish welfare. So to be recognising the work that we're doing, particularly around fish welfare, we're hugely proud of Tesco for this work and for this recognition.
Dan Crossley is the Executive Director of the Food Ethics Council and believes that we need a new way of thinking of ourselves if we're to change the future of our food system.
What we're passionate about, Food Ethics Council, is shifting from, or helping shift from, a consumer mindset to a citizen mindset. And the reason for that is that a consumer mindset is in essence a pair of blinkers on someone, and means that the only sense of influence and agency that they have is at the point of consumption, so the decision about whether to buy this product or that product. Whereas if we think of ourselves as food citizens and adopt this food citizen mindset, it opens up a whole new world of possibilities and allows us to participate in the food system in a range of different ways, and gives us different touch points from not just what we buy, but how we eat, and issues like how we vote, things like what our children eat at school, where our money is invested, a whole range of different touch points. So it opens up these other possibilities that, for me, are really powerful.
It's about asking us to take part in the story rather than being told what to do.
Absolutely. And this, often we think of ourselves as having no, in this big wide world out there, we're one individual, what difference can we make? Yeah. Which is very disempowering. Whereas if we treat ourselves differently, and both, you know, as an individual, but also at an organisational level, I say it means we can think about different questions, we can set collective missions, we can, and ultimately we can change the food system and make it a better place.
Dr. Tracy Jones is the Food Business Director at Compassion and World Farming, and told me that the awards are just the tip of the iceberg.
I'm always buoyed. I'm incredibly proud every time we run these awards, and feel the positivity that comes out and the genuineness, actually, of the people in the room. They're not coming here just to pick up a award, go home. They're coming here, pick up the award, and to do better, and to make their commitments stick and make them work. So they are embracing, you know, the need for protein diversification, for eat less and better, and they're all actually doing little bits, you know, in their own supply chain. There's a lot of work that goes on underneath that we don't see. So it's always great to celebrate, to have that sense of celebration.
How hard do you actually work with the retailers like Tesco's and Waitrose? And here this is the end point where they're actually getting the award, but you work very hard in campaigning throughout the years to get that message through.
Yeah, I mean, the awards are the tip of the iceberg, and underneath goes much work which is centred around just having an animal welfare policy. So, you know, 3-4 years ago, the number of companies that literally did not have animal welfare policies. So we work with them on that. We work with them on species specific. So what are you going to do about laying hens? What are you going to do about pigs? And then it's, well, what does good look like? We go in and we run seminars for them. We look at assurance schemes that match those criteria. We help them, you know, persuade the people at the top that actually this is the right thing to do, and we help promote it in the market space. So we work from conception through to, you know, product on the shelf with them. And sometimes it can take several years to get to an award state. Other times it can be quicker, but there's no more joy than when somebody says, who you've been working with for several years, and somebody says, yes, we're going to do that. And that's what drives us. That's what drives us to work the hours we work, to put the blood, sweat and tears into it all. So the award's the pinnacle. Actually, it's not the end. There's still an awful lot more to do, because of course they're based on 5-year commitments. So we then have to make that a reality. And that might mean matching up supply chains, getting business-to-business connections, carcass utilization, all of those things. So even though I say it's the tip of the iceberg, there's still a lot of that underlying work.
But importantly, the will is there.
The will is there, absolutely. And the important thing for us is to, one, get the commitments, but two, deliver them for animals on the ground. Thank you very much.
As the winners mingled with the farmers, producers and delegates from all over the world, I asked them what these awards mean. Daniel Nolan from the Jamie Oliver Group was awarded a cage-free award.
Well, really, for us, it's just about keeping Jamie's values true, no matter how big we get or no matter what we do and how the business grows, from restaurants to retail to our media campaigns. It's about keeping it consistent, really, and cage-free for us is a kind of, it's an instinctive, obvious thing that we've kind of always been doing. But this award really forces us just to kind of really dot the I's across the T's and do a full audit, which is a good, healthy thing for us to be doing. Jamie's often sort of being quoted as being more trusted than the government in food issues, and that's fantastic, but it's also a huge level of responsibility for us. And that means we have to know our stuff, we have to have the relationships with the right people, and actually, if we have got a role as an influencer, then the benefit comes full circle back to us again, because we're looking for supply chains, we're looking for people to work with, and if our influence through our campaigns helps them to be born and created, then it comes full circle. Yeah, the future is in honest, transparent, ethical business.
Yeah, it feels quite exciting, don't you think?
Yeah, it is. I mean, obviously the people here are the ones that do care. There is still a massive amount of people outside that don't care, don't ask, not terribly interested. Or those perhaps that do care but simply don't feel empowered or feel they have the position or often the cash to take action and buy better products and demand better products. So we can by no means celebrate everything being fixed and finished. And it's the ambition of our organisation, and for what Jamie can do, is actually help everybody realise that no, animal welfare and buying better and better, more ethical products is for everybody. It's not some premium, niche, elitist thing. And it's really, yeah, we want to see more people engaged and everybody to understand how they can have an impact and enjoy better food.
John Isherwood is the head of sustainable development at Pret and is another cage-free award winner. I asked him why Pret needs an award.
I believe as a brand that we have a responsibility to lead the way, because we know that when we do things, others follow. So a really good example of that would be the work that we've done recently on Veggie Pret, which is all around helping people to have a less meat diet. We don't want to transform everybody into vegetarians. That's not on our agenda. What we want to do is we want to make meat-free meat more accessible to more people. We know that by going there first, others are kind of following that piece. So actually, awards play an important part in actually vocalising the things that we do, that enables others then to kind of say we should do that too. And looking at how the Compassion Awards have grown year on year, I think that validates that piece, and I think that's why the awards are so important.
Environmental journalist Lucy Siegel was presenting the awards. I asked her what they add to the environmental debate.
Compassion World Farming was obviously set up with the mission of ending factory farming. I think when you look at the numbers of factory farming around the world, the numbers are absolutely extraordinary, and it seems very hard to understand how anyone can make a dent in it. And what I think is peculiarly amazing about Compassion World Farming and these awards is the way they put numbers to everything they do. So tonight when I'm presenting, you'll hear me say after every category the numbers that have been potentially saved by the award winners here, by their actions and by the implementation of different projects. So then you do the maths and you add up the numbers that they're saving, and you compare them against the numbers of factory farming, and you add in the fact that we have a lot of awards here tonight going to China, which has never had the best reputation for animal welfare, and you think, this is possible. So you just look at the numbers. So the emotion is amazing, but you, even if you're not an emotional person, you could literally just look at the numbers. And that's so inspiring, because you think, oh my God, this could actually happen. And who would have thought that actually 10 years ago, it was like a runaway train. Like, you would not have believed that you could make those kind of inroads.
Yeah.
So it's an extraordinary set of achievements that we're celebrating.
It's a bit of an era of movements at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. But Compassion the World Farming is really the one that started them. And personally, I find that food is such a gateway for other movements. So people maybe start with food, and then they get involved in lots of other social justice and environmental justice. So it really is kind of unstoppable and kind of like difficult and slightly overwhelming. It's so large, it's such a massive global scale. You know, we talk about trade flows, we talk about what this country exports, people talk about widgets, components for this, that and the other. No one ever talks about ethical justice, which is actually one of our biggest exports. Like, you know, Godalming, UK, Compassionate Wild Farming started there, and it's exported all over the world, even to the places that were really considered very hard to reach, like China, for example. That's an extraordinary achievement. So I don't think anyone can take anything away from the people who are here tonight.
Philip Limbury is feeling optimistic.
Well, I think it's great to see so many representatives from corporations, from food corporations here today. And it's also wonderful, I think, to be able to recognise the great work that they're doing for farm animal welfare. And what's been particularly touching, I think, this afternoon is seeing companies that have committed to going cage-free across the board, not just on their eggs, not just on rabbits, but across all of the, you know, all of the species. So Pret is one of those companies, Jamie Oliver Group another, Marks and Spencer. What we're doing here is we are making a cage-free high street happen. We're getting high street names, big names, to come with us on this journey and make factory farm cages go into history, essentially.
It really feels in this room that it can happen. You know, you're talking about really big supermarkets making really important changes.
Well, I think technology is going to give us the ability to understand much more about our food, how it was produced, where it's come from. You know, at the moment we have a very poor labelling system, certainly for meat and milk, where we just don't know whether that produce has come from a factory farm. You know, it's labelled with things like farm fresh or country fresh, when actually it's often fresh from the factory farm. Technology can help us get under the skin of that and just cut through that. But on top of that, what we also need is government to roll up its sleeves and give us honest labelling as a base standard. The technology, the flashy stuff is great for those that want to know more, but let's have basic information as a prerequisite, a basic right for all consumers.
And there was a real call to do the right thing, wasn't there?
Absolutely, doing the right thing. And you know, the thing which Compassion in World Farming understands is that the business of business is being in business. And we believe that farm animal welfare really can help businesses to not just survive, but to thrive, to become future-proof, to build their brand, and actually to empower the people within their institutions, within their companies, to do the right thing, to make changes, to make the world a better place.
Thanks for listening to Stop the Machine. Join us at Wilderness next month, when Philip Limbury will be taking his campaign to end factory farming to the biggest foodie music festival in the UK.